We want to extend a Christian greeting to each one here this morning. It's again a blessing to be in the house of God and to be able to worship Him. Brother Simon was mentioning some people this morning that are back and here as visitors. I saw somebody come in that wasn't mentioned. That was Lyndon. I want to welcome you here. It's good to see you. This morning, as I was preparing for the message, it's actually different from what I was expecting. Actually, another message prepared, but it wasn't really coming together as I felt it should. I felt God pressing on my heart to preach about something that transpired when we were in India. Some of the things that happened there and from the things that we can see in the believers' lives there, that I just want to speak on this morning. And I can see it in you all as well. As we think of Christ living in us, Christ abiding in us, I think is very important for believers and Christians wherever we're at. What does it really mean to be abiding in Christ? Can we see when Christ is abiding in people? Yes, we can, absolutely. Webster defines abide as to endure without yielding, to bear patiently, to accept without objection, to remain stable or fixed in a state, to continue in a place. That's what Webster's defines abiding as. In the Strong's Concordance, the Greek word meno for abide says it means to stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy. In other words, it can be used interchangeably for this is continue to dwell, endure, be present, stand, and tarry. In John 15, verses 1 through 10, it's going to be our text this morning. It's showing us the importance of abiding in Christ and what can be the result as we do that. And as Jonathan and I were over in India and spent 2 weeks ago there with the believers there, and with thinking back when it started and where they're at today, it was a very inspiration to me to think of, if that wouldn't have started, where would these people be that are believers now? Here they're continuing on in spreading the gospel there in a nation where, or in a country where Christianity is not very popular. But they still continue doing that. In John 15, verses 1 through 10, I will be reading that at this time. I'll be reading out the New King James Version. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. This morning, I want to, for the first part of the message, look at a number of scripture verses that that go along with this of what implies, so far as abiding in Christ, what does that all imply? Abiding in Christ, I think one thing that it implies that we are one in Christ. We are one with Christ. In the fourth verse 4 there that we just read, it says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." We need to be attached to the vine in order to bear fruit. We are one with Christ. And I think this is one of the foremost things of the heart of Jesus when he prayed for us in John 17. His desire was that we would experience that same oneness that him and his Father were experiencing. That union that was between the Father and the Son was a union that was hard to separate. You may say it was inseparable. Jesus told Philip, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." In John 17, verses 20 through 22, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, and that they also may be one in us." Why? "That the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one." We are a part of Christ, and he is a part of us. Are we inseparable as Jesus and his Father were? To abide in Christ is to continually abide in his presence. To continually abide in his presence. He will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. In Ephesians 1:3, it says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ." We can be seated with him in heavenly places even today. And then in Ephesians 2:4-6, "God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Sitting together with him in heavenly places. What a blessing we as his people have in being able to do that. Also, abiding in Christ implies that we are in communion with him. We're one with him, we're also in communion with him. In 2 Corinthians 13:14, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." And the Greek word for communion, which I didn't know, which is new to me, is koinonia, which means having a common partnership or fellowship. It denotes sharing, which one has in anything, a participation, a fellowship that is enjoyed by everyone. It involves a participation in knowing Jesus, in knowing the Son of God. And what he has done for us, realizing the effects that his blood has on our lives. In 1 Corinthians 10:16, "The cup of blessing which we bless is not the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" Participating in the sufferings of Christ and commemorating what he has done for us, and also realizing that he died for us, but he also rose again. He has risen and sitting at the right hand of God. Philippians 3:10, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death." That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Communion with Christ, I think, speaks very negatively against the impossibility of having communion between light and darkness. There's a difference there. Communion with Christ, we are abiding in the light. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Abiding in Christ, implying that we are in communion with him. It also involves being dependent on him. Abiding in Christ involves dependence upon him. Verse 5 of chapter 15 of what we just read, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And that's one thing we could that I could see within the believers over in India, halfway across around the world. We could see fruit coming out of their lives that before they knew Christ, that would not have been. Individuals that they could see change lives, individuals that were involved in drinking, individuals that were involved in things that went against the principles of God's word, being saved and seeing the radiance of their face. In our union and one with in our union and oneness with Christ, I think it's important that we continually rely on him and are always sensitive to the fact that he is there to help us regardless of what we're facing. Someone made the comment that, and I quote, God uses men who are weak and feeble enough to lean on him. God uses men who are weak and feeble enough to lean on him. I appreciate Brother Willis's devotional this morning on being humble. And as we look at ourselves, as we view ourselves before God, I think it should be a humbling experience for us. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put shame, to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. And then in 2 Corinthians 3, 5-6, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from where? It's from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Dependence upon God. Abiding in Christ, depending upon him. It involves our ability to trust him for grace and for the things that are needed in our lives as we face issues that we're not sure what the outcome is going to be. As Brother Ken made the comment here, was it Wednesday evening, that their future seems very uncertain. And all of our futures are, for that matter. But I think God will supply the grace for that as we look to him and as we trust him for the things that we need in our lives. As we do, I think he will bring us into that kind of fruitfulness that God is desiring for his people, that God desires in our lives. In Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its root by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but her leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. There was a write-up in a newspaper about a study that was done in producing 100 bushels of corn over an acre of land. This was done in Iowa. In addition to the many hours of the farmer's labor, required 4 million pounds of water, 6,800 pounds of oxygen, 5,200 pounds of carbon, 160 pounds of nitrogen, 125 pounds of potassium, 75 pounds of sulfur, and other elements that were too numerous to list. In addition to these things, which no man can produce, what are some things that are very vital to producing that 100 bushels of corn? Man cannot produce that. Rain and sunshine coming at the right time. It was estimated that only 5% of the produce of a farm can be attributed to the efforts of man. I'm bringing that out to bring out this, that I think oftentimes it may be the same in our spiritual lives. As we trust in God, He's the one that's going to bring the fruit in our lives, not us. We need to trust Him. We can be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its root by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but her leaf will be green. There's going to be fruit there. And will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Abiding in Christ also involves obedience to Him. The last two verses there in 9 and 10 of John 15. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Obedience to Christ. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. Obedience will bring us into a greater dimension of Christ's presence and his power that he is giving to us. As we're obedient to him, we can experience Christ's presence and his enabling power. On the flip side, when we disobey him, it's going to quench that spirit within us, and we're going to reject that abiding presence that he has in store for us, that he has available for us. So I trust that as we have Christ abiding in us, we also want to be obedient to him so we can experience that enabling power that he has. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Abiding in Christ also involves a continuance. In John 8:31, it says, Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed him, If you abide or continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. That's a promise that we can claim today. If you abide, continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Many of us, or maybe we don't receive the abundance of God's blessings as we could, because we lack the continuing power for whatever reason. We lack the continuance of staying with God, of staying with him. Let's remember the Greek word. It means to be in a given place, state, to stay there. And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. If we continue, if we abide in his word, we shall be able to reap if we do not faint, if we do not lose heart. In the Hampton Court near London, there's a grapevine there under glass that is 1,000 years old and has but one root which is at least 2 feet thick. Now imagine a root 2 feet thick, a grapevine, that is. Some of the branches there are 200 feet long, and because of the skillful pruning, the cutting that takes place, the vine produces several tons of grapes each year. Even though some of those smaller branches are 200 feet from the main stem, they're able to bear much fruit. Because why? Because they're joined to that vine. And they allow that life of the vine to be flowing through to them, which in turn they're able to bear fruit all the way out in the several hundred feet away from the main stem. He is the vine, we are the branches. And when we need pruning, what is his goal when he prunes us? Isn't it to bear more fruit, to be more fruitful? As we think of pruning a grapevine or pruning any type of plant, we normally take away what's healthy. We normally take away what looks good. We're not really hurting the plant. In essence, we maybe are. But we're looking at the results down the road. It's going to be more fruitful if we prune any type of plant. And I think the same way for us as believers, as we're abiding in Christ and he prunes our lives, as it were, he wants to bring more fruit. Abiding in Christ, what does it bring? I think one thing it brings security. In Psalms 91:1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And we all want security, don't we? To go through life without security, to go through life without knowing exactly what's going to happen, isn't a good feeling. But if we abide with the Most High, we have that assurance that we can be secure there. We shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It also brings cleansing. As we abide in Christ, it also brings cleansing. I think that's on a daily basis. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you in John 15:3. And as we immerse ourselves in the Word of God, I think it cleanses us from day to day. It also brings confidence. As we abide in Christ, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. It also brings usefulness and fruitfulness. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. It's the only way that we'll be able to be fruitful in our Christian lives is if we're attached to that true vine and abiding and continuing with Christ. Another thing that abiding in Christ does, what it brings victory. In 1 John 3:6, whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. And we have that promise that we all make mistakes, but we have that promise that he will forgive us if we come to him. We can walk in victory. Yes, we can. Bearing fruit is very essential to Christian discipleship. And I believe we underestimate too often a life without words, how loud that speaks to people. Yes, I think we do need to witness with our words, but I think we also need to let our light shine through our walk of life. How we live. A life well lived is more effective witness than words well said. There's a story of Benjamin Franklin that I came across as I was studying for this. He learned that plaster sown in fields would make things grow. So he told his neighbors about this, and his neighbors didn't believe him. They argued with him, trying to prove that plaster could be of no use at all to anything that they plant, to grasses or grains. So he dropped the matter, and he went to the field next spring and put plaster down and sowed seed into this plaster. And he wrote this in large letters across the field. This has been plastered. Benjamin Franklin, he did not need to argue the point that with his neighbors anymore, because they could see that it was greener. They could see that it was taller than any of the surrounding area. Same with our lives. Let's not underestimate the power that our Christian lives, it speaks to people around us. Yes, it does. And I think as we allow Christ in our lives, and if we abide in Him, as we continue in Him, there shall be fruit. There's fruit coming out of our lives that people are going to see that truly we are one of Jesus' disciples. By your fruits shall all men know that you are my disciples. If you are truly abiding in Christ, it will be known by those who know you and observe your life. Are you attached to the true vine this morning? Are you attached to Jesus? The purpose of being attached is to bring nourishment to us. The purpose of branches being attached to a grapevine is to bring nourishment to those branches, to where they can bring fruit. When separated from the vine, the branches will do what? They will wither and they will die. The vitality of our spiritual life is strongly dependent upon our connection with Christ and how well we are abiding and continuing with the true vine. Two questions I think that we want to ask ourselves this morning. First of all, are we connected to the vine, or is the life of Christ flowing within us? Secondly, if we are connected to the vine and we're joined to Christ, how does our fruit look? Is there fruit flowing out? Are we allowing the fruit of Christ to flow out of our lives? We need to recognize that Jesus is the source of our life. Yes, He is. I am the true vine, Jesus tells His disciples. Just think with me for a moment about what has happened. The scripture verse that we read here, Jesus and His disciples and where they were. If we recall, this is the night of Jesus' betrayal. But before that happens, Jesus and the disciples have been in the upper room. They celebrate the Passover in the upper room. Jesus had washed the disciples' feet and spoke with them about the events that were to take place. And then, after a discussion with the disciples, Jesus closes there in chapter 14. It says, "Arise and let us go hence. Let us leave. Come now, let us go." Matthew, another one of the disciples, says that following the Passover meal, Jesus and His disciples sang a hymn. And then they went to the Mount of Olives. And then we go right into John 15, where Jesus continues teaching them with, "I am the true vine." Jesus was teaching them. He was the master teacher here. And Jesus didn't speak over the people that He was teaching. He didn't speak in language that they couldn't understand. He spoke in a way that it hit their hearts. And He used things which were common to those He taught so that they could understand His teaching. So as Jesus and His disciples were making their way, they walked, I think, they might have walked past the grapevine. And then Jesus proceeded teaching about what we have in chapter 15. He had their attention. He was using something that they could see and applying that to their spiritual life. You may say it was a teaching that was being illustrated. In the upper room, Jesus had told his disciples some things that would be very difficult to understand. But here, I think Jesus was helping them understand the meaning of, you know, I am the true vine and you are the branches. He was the life. He was the Holy Spirit. Jesus showing his disciples that he is the source of all spiritual life. And we can have that source today through the Holy Spirit. It is made available to us, to every one of us today, that source of life through him. In 1 John 5:11-12, it says, "And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." Are we connected to that vine? If you're not connected to that vine this morning, if you have not experienced that forgiveness that Jesus has for everyone that comes to him in true repentance, if you have not let Jesus come into your heart and rescue you from drowning in that sea of sin, then I believe this morning that we're not experiencing life. The life that such a person has experienced is empty. It's meaningless. Because why? Because we're not connected to that true vine. We're not connected to the true source of life. In Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The choice is every one of, we have that choice to make. We can either just continue the way we're doing, or we can choose to be grafted into that vine, into that life-giving vine. It's the only vine that will give us life. All other vines will be lifeless. The branches have no real fruit because there's no life on the vine. But when we're connected to Jesus, everything will be made new and will be made alive. Jesus is the life source, and it's within this life that we can produce fruit. We cannot do it of ourselves. It is Jesus working through us. It's the outworking of being connected to that vine. Some have taught that the fruit Jesus is talking about here is obedience, which I think it is. I think those who love Christ, they will obey his commandments. I think this fruit is also, as we go into the fruits of the Spirit, I'm not sure, it's in Galatians where the fruits of the Spirit are listed there. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control is, I think, evidence that we are connected to that true vine. And it's these types of fruit that I can see in you here. I could see in the believers in India. I could see that coming out of their lives. It's fruits coming out of being connected to that true vine. In Matthew 7:16-18, "You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit." So as we're connected to that true vine, we will produce fruits that are good and that can glorify God. So what is the fruit of the believer's life that is connected to Jesus? I think it's all of the ones that I mentioned here. Those who are Christ's branches, I think we should desire to produce more and more of all of this fruit. And as we allow the pruning of God to take place in our lives, I think that will be our experience. We'll be able to bear more fruit for Christ. What about the fruits? What about the branches that produce no fruit? Are there branches that are connected to the vine which produce no fruit? Are there branches on grapevines that are connected, but they're not producing any fruit? Yes, I think there is. And Jesus here identifies two such branches. On the surface, we may think they're both going to get the same treatment from the gardener. The fruitless branch, the branch that is not bearing any fruit, is cut off and thrown to the fire. In the second verse there, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Very clear that any branch that is not bearing fruit is cut off. Let's look at in verse 2, Jesus is saying that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And then in verse 6, it actually states that if anyone does not abide in me, which verse 2 is implying that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. He works with it. He prunes it. And if someone does not abide in me, that is the branch that he will take away, throw into the fire, and they are burned. A healthy grapevine will put out new shoots, which grow into branches. And oftentimes, those are the ones that need to be taken off, so the main plant can do better. In a lot of plants, that is the case. They grow low and along the ground, oftentimes. Although there's life there, they can't produce any fruit. They're going to be taking the life away from the ones that can bear fruit. So what do we do with that? We take it off. And I think the fruitless branch, I would like to liken that in verse 2, is the believer who may not have been trained or discipled how to live the Christian life. I don't think our Heavenly Father is going to cut such a person off. I think He will take time for that person. And we need to take time for that person to disciple and to walk beside them, to grow. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is Jesus, it is God's desire, the Lord's desire, that everyone come to repentance and can experience that forgiveness and can experience that fruit. Jesus said that the Father's desire is that all who are in Christ will produce fruit, bringing glory to the Father. I think that's ultimately what the Father wants, is He wants to bring glory to Himself, and He is using us as Christians to do that. The Father, He doesn't receive any glory by cutting off branches that are in Christ. He wants everyone to repent, to come to Him. Left to ourselves, we would all remain branches in Christ, but we're going to be unfruitful because we are only growing in the, you might say, the dirt of this world. We're not connected to that true vine. We're maybe like suckers, as it were. We need to be attached to the true vine, where God's Holy Spirit is in our lives, where God can make us more fruitful, where God can lift us up to His honor and glory. He can discipline us. He can train us. He can prune us so that we can grow and we can produce more fruit. I think we all have relationships here. We have relationships with other believers. And I think we need to help each other grow effectively and to be more fruitful. None of us will be able to go through this life alone and come out. It's going to be very hard to do that. We need each other. That is why God instituted the church. Being part of a church and sharing a loving relationship with other Christians, I think, is very vital to our spiritual health, to all of us. He instructs us in his word is another thing that God does to make us more fruitful. The Holy Spirit being our teacher through teaching, through sermons, through devotionals, through personal Bible reading and interaction in small groups, and through praying. I think the Holy Spirit can teach us. He also renews our minds so that we no longer conform. We don't need to be conformed to this world, but we pursue his kingdom. He teaches us that we need to hate sin. We need to desire righteousness. We need to follow after righteousness. When we have sin in our lives, we want to be restored back to that relationship that we had before we had that sin in our lives. He is faithful. He is willing to forgive us if we come to him, back to him in repentance. In Hebrews 3:12, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Let's not miss that warning. Let's not have a heart of unbelief to where we depart from that true vine, which is Christ. In John 15:2-4, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Finally, as we look at abiding and continuing him, I trust each one of our desire this morning is that we take this seriously, that we are connected to the true vine, that regardless what we're facing in life, as we abide in him, as we're attached in him, he will help us through the uncertainties of life. We can find that security in him. I trust each one of our desire this morning is that he could be glorified through our lives and through the fruits that are being produced through our lives. Jesus, the true vine, is producing fruit within his branches. It alone, only that true fruit, only that fruit is going to endure. The question I want to leave with you this morning: are you connected to that true vine? Are you abiding? Are you continuing and staying with that true vine? Let's stand. Jonathan, would you lead in a verse in Psalm 414 in the Christian hymnal, please? Let's stand as we sing. "I am the vine," yes. A Christian hymn, I'm sorry.
I am the vine.
Again, yes, by your fruits the world is to know you, walking in love as children of day. Follow your guide. He passes before you, leading to realms of glorious day. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you so much for being the true vine. Thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to be connected to you. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that allows this to happen. And my prayer would be this morning that we could stay connected, we could abide, we can continue staying connected to that true vine. And may you continue to work with us and prune us according to your glory, Father, that ultimately that you can be glorified, but you want us to bring forth fruit for you. So we just want to commit each one here to you just now. May you just lead, guide, and direct us. Thank you for being our guide. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.